All right, guys, why don't you, if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open up, surprise, surprise, to the book of Colossians. I know no one here has ever heard of this book. We've only been doing about a 20-week series on the book of Colossians, four short chapters, and we are finishing it today. So if you found us for the first time today, this is a perfect day to find us. I called this message today, "It Comes Down to This." You get to the end of a letter, you can't just go pop on Facebook, you can't Skype, you can't, you know, just throw a letter in the mail and it'll be there the next day. It's when you're going to say something to someone about 2,000 years ago, it's going to take a while to get there. You're pretty careful about what you write. Paul was being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's fairly careful about what he says. And that's my sarcasm right there. He's extremely intentional about what he says. And we're going to finish up with the last three verses of this entire letter. So here's the big question as we get going. Okay, so you have a good theology, right? So we understand the grace of God. We understand the supremacy of Jesus. We understand the importance of being together on God's big mission in the earth. I think Jim focused last week on how there's all kinds of different people in the church, and different giftings, we're a collection of these different peoples coming together, all of us with different gifts, different strengths, and we're all needed. So we get that. What do we do with this? What do we do with the truth of God in our lives? As Paul wraps up this letter to the church in Colossae, here's what he says. We're going to read verses 16 through 18. "And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you." Now, if you want to go back and listen to like the other 20 parts or so of this series that we've done, there's a lot of content on who is this Jesus? What is the church called to be? There's a lot there, and I'm not going to get into it all today, especially when we had such a great long time of worship. I'm not going to speak for hours and hours today, like I normally do, right? Hours and hours? No. So there's three really key points here that Paul makes just in these last three verses. He says, I've written you this letter. When you've read it, I want you to have it read in this other church as well, in this other city, Laodicea. Have it read in this other church. We are called not just to hear the word of the Lord. We're called to share what God has given us with others. God's intent isn't just to pump you full of information, to pump you just like, I am so loaded with solid theology, like, yeah, just, I got it going on, I'm rocking, I'm rolling, I know it. That isn't God's intent for your life, that you just be this know-it-all. It's not his intent for my life. He says, when it's been read among you, have it read in the church of the Laodiceans. Now, he assumes some things here. This assumes that these churches in these two cities, Colossae and Laodicea, he assumes they're connected. There's an assumption here that there's a mutual submission going on to one another, that they can say, I want you guys Read it. Have it read to them. Make sure this happens. Donald just said it in our announcements. We're not alone. We're not this independent church out here doing our own thing. Here we are. There is a mutual submission in the body of Christ where not just you as an individual need to be connected. You do. Each of us does. We need to be connected. We need relationship. We need genuine accountability in our lives. We need it. But we need it as families. We need it as a church. We need to be connected. This church in Laodicea, obviously, the assumption is when the guys show up and say, hey, Paul said you guys are supposed to read this, that they're going to do it. Interesting, isn't it? That there's actually some authority here. Ooh, scary, scary word to say in the Northwest United States. What? Authority? Ooh. All right, I know I'm treading on thin ice. I'll keep going. Guys, to be on apostolic mission together in the earth means taking what we are learning together, sharing it with other people. So yeah, are we called to be disciples and learn? Yeah, he said, I want you to read this. But we're called to make disciples. The great commission that Jesus gave before he ascended to heaven was this: go into all the earth and make disciples. So we're called to take what God gives us and give that to others and help other people mature, help other people develop. What is your calling in the earth? Who are you as a Christian? Whether you're any of the people that Jim read about last week, you've got a doctor, you've got Epaphras, who's just this like faithful church guy. You've got another dude who's got a great gift of hospitality. You got all these different people. You can say, well, that my gifting, John, really isn't to go make disciples. My gift is just to hang out with people. Do you know what you're called to do while you hang out with people? Make disciples. If you're a doctor and you go in and you're working in the hospital, maybe you're a nurse, but you work in the medical field, what are you called to do? Take what God has given you and share it with people. How do you make disciples? You give away what God's given you. It's not actually super difficult. When you take, and this is just, I'm trying to think what study this came from. A friend of mine who's his name is Dr. Reschke. He's a microbiologist researcher. He used to work at the University of Montana when I was in Missoula. And he brought me this little statistic. He said, if I teach you something, John, you can come to church and you can sit and I'll talk and I'll, and he was a fantastic theologian kind of guy too. He said, if I teach you something, you're probably going to retain about 10% of it. And 90% of what I say to you, you won't even really remember. But if you take what I teach you and you begin to apply it and you do something with it in your life, said, the percentage of what you actually retain goes up and up and up. He said, if you then take what you're applying in your life and you teach someone else, you retain about 90%. Once you're not just learning and doing, but you're learning and doing and giving it away. You're teaching someone else. You learn much more. You become a more effective disciple when you're making disciples. That's kind of cool. So what am I saying? Take what you've been learning in this series in Colossians and give it away to somebody. Give it to somebody. Talk to somebody at work about it. Talk to, you know, you're driving in your truck, Harry, and you just pop on the CB with some trucker, you know. Captive audience on the interstate, right? There is an audience out there. I know. I used to have a CB, and I'd listen in on the truckers, and my parents would sometimes be like, "Woo, turn that off. Get rid of that." Okay. Now notice, he doesn't just tell this church in Colossae, have this read in Laodicea. He says, See that you also read the letter from Laodicea. So he wrote them a letter, and this letter's been lost. Different theologians will try to say, oh, this is really the Ephesians, or this is really Philemon, or this is really some other letter in the New Testament. No, it's not. We've lost that letter. We don't know what it was. But what he says to them is, see that you read it. I wrote them a letter too. Make sure you read it. I'm guessing he probably wrote to the church in Laodicea. See that the church in Colossae reads this and make sure you read theirs. He probably did the same thing. But what's he saying? What's the principle to you? What's the principle to me in this? Not only am I to take what God gives me and share it with others, I am to share in what God has given to others. I am called, you are called, we are called together to learn from each other, to glean from what God is pouring out into other people. What's he teaching Harry? I'm picking on you today, Harry. What's God teaching Harry? What's he showing Harry? I have a responsibility when I'm connected into the body of Christ to learn from what God is teaching Harry, to learn from what God is teaching us. See to it, he says. This isn't just you know what, if it's convenient, that would be really cool if you guys could read this. He says, see to it that you read the letter from Laodicea. So this requires some intentionality to say, hey, I need to learn from you. I need to know what God is saying to us as a people. God isn't going to speak only to me as the primary leader at Grace Church Spokane, and like suddenly I become like the priest. And I'm the mediator between God and Grace Church Spokane. Nobody wants that. Okay? No, we're not going back to the old religious way where you couldn't get to God. You needed somebody else special to go to God for you. You can hear from God. And God is sometimes going to give you, like Donald was exhorting us in the middle of the meeting, hey, let's share. Let's hear what God is saying to us. God is going to speak to you for our benefit. He's going to encourage all of us through you. And you might be thinking, oh, yeah, that's the guy in front of me. That's the other one over. But John, I'm kind of, maybe if I was one of the guys, I could do that. Guys, God's poured his spirit out on all flesh. Men, women, young, old. We are a prophetic people together. We are the people of God together. We need what God is giving you. Whether you are male, female, young, or old. When you pray during the week and God speaks to you, and you're praying, some scripture just like really comes alive, and I think, you're like, I feel like there's something here for our church specifically. Bring that to us. Please. Now, this isn't to say, guys, in our crazy media-saturated culture, that we're going to go out, let's go make sure we read everything from everybody, because we live in a different world than when Paul wrote this letter. Lots of people were illiterate. In our culture here, most people are not illiterate. And we can draw from some guy who's a self-appointed evangelist on the internet. You can draw information from anybody and everybody. And gosh, I listen to some stuff and go, oh my goodness. These guys are so passionate and so ignorant all at the same time. Like I almost wish I could go, okay, censor that, censor that, censor that. No young Christian anywhere should ever hear this. This is horrible. Okay. We're not going to do that. We're not into that sort of cultish control. But this isn't just random reading, random learning, even in the Bible, it says, for reading and the reading of books, there is no end. You can just get swamped, and you can always think, I just need a little more information. If I had a little more education, then I'd have something to offer. Guys, you've got the Word of God. You get the Word of God that for centuries people did not have access to. And in certain parts of the world, people still don't have access to this. And if you're in some part of the world and you happen to have like just the book of John, just the Gospel of John, people will come to find you because you have truth. You can pick your translation. Pick your favorite top 20 translations and you can find it in blue leather. You can find, you know, whatever you want. We have access to the Word of God. This is pretty good. We are a very, very blessed people. Paul's writing to a church. They've been influenced. The Colossian church has been influenced by people who are extremely religious, extremely legalistic. They're focusing a lot on asceticism, like depriving the flesh. Deprive yourself so that you can be more holy, so you can be more like God. Paul's been addressing that in these letters. He's been dealing with people who are overly spiritual, like, you know, we just want to talk about the angels. Let's talk about what the angels are doing. And you think, I'm joking. I mean, that's maybe not quite how they worded it. But he's like, guys, it isn't about the worship of angels. It's not about all these things. He's addressing a church that's been having some crazy theology coming at them. But what he's telling them is, I want you to intentionally learn. I wrote a letter to these guys over here, and I want you to read it. I wrote a letter to you, and I want you to see that it's read among the church. You guys, this is what you need to know. So a good leader, hopefully I'm a fairly okay leader, is going to give some instruction on, guys, there is some excellent resource, some excellent teaching. This is a good start, your Bible. But the books that we bring in and we put on the back, we bring them in because they're excellent and because they're really helpful. I was just talking with Thierry yesterday. We were praying together, and he's going through this book called Receiving the Holy Spirit and His Gifts. And Thierry's just like, oh, I'm coming alive in this. He's like, I'm realizing it's making me hungry for more of God. It's making me thirsty for more of God in a really good way. It wasn't like, oh, I feel so pathetic. Or he was just like, I'm feeling alive. If you haven't read that one, you might want to. So Paul's very, very specific. So here's my question to you in that. Why not ask Donald? Ask me. Hey, what resources do you think would be most helpful for me right now in my Christian development? Why not come to the leaders and ask for some instruction? Otherwise, I tell you what, there's some great stuff available on the internet. And there's some garbage. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between the two. I think that's enough on that. One more point on this. He says to this, I love that he gets to the end of a letter. He's been writing to the church. And all of a sudden he says to the church in Colossae, just in case you think I'm not telling the truth, the opening of this letter says, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. So who's he writing to? You. He's writing to the church, right? It's the church, this group. And he's like, make sure that you read this letter all together. I want you all to hear this. Now, what does he say at the end? Say to Archippus. Wait, so everyone's all together. The letter's to everyone. And he's saying to everyone, say to this guy, Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. How'd you like to be Archippus? The letter comes to the whole church. Everyone gets together. They're all reading this letter together. And it's all this general instruction, reminder of how Jesus is the deal. You don't need something else. You don't need some other intermediary God to somehow get to God. Jesus is all you need. You're reading all this stuff, and all of a sudden it comes to the end and it says, oh, and say to Archippus, say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. This goes from general instruction to the whole church to you. And I say to you, who are you in this letter? Hi, Archippus. Who are you? Archippus, hey, see to it that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. This is cool. I remember when I first started as a sort of fledgling, I wasn't a pastor at that point, but I was starting out as a worship leader. And the worship leader in our church, who was pretty known in our region, our church was known as a place that people came, and it was kind of this watering hole. Everybody wanted to come, hang out, just going to get filled up with God, visions fresh and full, worship times were powerful, and then they would all go back to their home churches and take it home. And our worship leader left, like immediately, quickly, just woof, is gone. I was kind of training to be a worship leader, but I was mostly a drummer. And our senior pastor called me into his office, and he said, John, you're up. You're up. And had another friend of mine, Jeremy Koepke, was there, but he was about 2-3 years younger than me, going to school in Portland. And he had actually been leading worship at our church more than I had, but he was going to be in Portland. So it's like, John, you have to lead it. Jeremy's kind of here for a little bit in a few weeks, but he's going to be gone, so you're up. And I'm thinking, oh. Yeah, it was like, you know, holy. And it wasn't worshipful, actually. I wasn't bowing down. Holy God, holy God. No, I was just going, ah. And I was feeling the pressure to perform. I was feeling the, how in the world am I going to keep the same standard that people are used to? People travel to come to our church for the worship. Ah, I even prayed, God, let me learn anywhere but right here in this like fishbowl with a spotlight on it. Give me somewhere else to learn. Nope, this was it. But this is what happened. Steve Valentine stood up in front of the whole church, and I am this green leader. And he said, I want you to know that John is leading the way that I have asked John to lead. And if you don't like the way he's leading, I don't even want you to bother him about it. I want you to come and talk to me if you have any issues. Because he's doing what I've asked him to do. And it was really cool. And we had to work through some things later, because at some point, if people are having issue with John, they do need to be able to talk with John. But what he did is he set me up for success in front of the whole church. And he said, I've asked him to do this. Our elders have asked him to do this. He's doing what we've called him to do. Wow. When Archippus hears this, see to it that you fulfill the ministry God has called you to do, that you have received in the Lord. Archippus is being seriously affirmed. He has received a ministry in the Lord, and Paul is telling him in front of the whole church, do it. Everybody, I want you to tell Archippus, run. Tell Archippus, hey, if you're afraid, if you're feeling inadequate, if you're feeling like you are not enough, hey, run. And I'm just telling you all this morning, Archippus. What is that in plural? Archippi? Like octopus, octopi. Hey, all you archipi. I'm telling you the same thing. Run. What is it that God has given you? What is the ministry that you have received in the Lord? Think, and it doesn't have to be like a big grand title on it. Because our ministry isn't about titles and positions. And, you know, that's like, that might be sort of a American concept or a Western world concept. But ministry comes from the Lord. He's the one who calls you. He's the one who anoints you. He's the one, whose spirit are you carrying? It's not the spirit of John or the spirit of Donald, or it's the spirit of God. And if he's filled you, and he's the one who's qualified you, which we've already learned in this letter, who qualifies you? Him. Who makes you righteous? Him. Who makes you holy? Him. When he gives you ministry, run with it. Run with it. So two churches got to hear this for Archippus. His own church in the city of Colossae and the city of Laodicea. There's two churches who all know. We're to see to it. We're to tell this guy, fulfill it. Fulfill what God has given you to do. There's no room for complacency in that. There's no room to hide in that. Like, ooh, I'm just going to show up and kind of sit back. Now, when you get called out, it's time to step into the role God has for you. It's time to run. Now, how do we do with these things? We're called to see to it that we're learning and that we're taking what we're learning, we're giving it to others. We're to see to it that we're sharing in what God is giving others. So we're to be learners from each other. We're to make sure that we're not just the little lone rangers running around. We're to see to it that we're fulfilling ministry that God has given us to do. We're not just information suppositories or information dispensers. We have actual ministry function. This is our calling in God. Fulfill what he's given us to do. Well, we all know Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's what Jesus said. What is your ministry? Well, it might have all kinds of specific focuses. Again, that'd be like foci, wouldn't it? It may have all sorts of specificity to it. But you are called to make disciples. Okay, I could go through and name everybody in the room and say, what is your calling in God? Make disciples. It doesn't matter who your name is. It's not, you can't point to the guy next to you or the girl next to you and say, that's their job. No, that is your job. See to it that you fulfill the ministry God has given you. Are you making disciples? No one gets off the hook. But how do we do this? Because that can start to sound like work. Oh, brother. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. We begin. I'm going to go back to the beginning of this letter. Colossians 1, right after he says, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We begin in grace. We end in grace. And he gives them an encouragement. Now, this can sound like a pity party for a second. Paul is not a pity party guy. Paul is a man of mission. He's a man of purpose. The guy's fairly intense about the gospel. When he says, remember my chains, he's not saying, cry a little bit for me. Shed a few tears for my hard life. When he says, remember my chains, this is a motivating thing. I am writing to you, declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm calling you guys to great things together. And I'm doing this from a place of difficulty. I'm doing this from a place of limited mobility. Remember my chains. Now, what's limiting you? I'm doing this from jail. Let's just be about our Father's business. Remember my chains. Now, does this mean don't pray for Paul because he's in chains? No, of course. Pray for Paul. But when he says, grace be with you. Grace be with, this is, he closes the whole thing out with a prayer. Grace be with you. How do we do all this? How do we fulfill ministry? With the grace of God. How do we learn and be intentional learners? As my dad loves to tell me over and over and over when I was growing up, leaders are readers. Leaders are readers. Leaders are readers. Never stop learning. Never stop reading. How do we do that? In the grace of God. If you're making disciples, it means you have to be pouring out. You have to be giving away. But how do you do it? The grace of God. We hang out in the grace of God. That's where we find everything we need. Where you find strength to keep going. Where you keep from getting on a treadmill, performance treadmill. Just a reminder as we close this down. What is the grace of God? It's his unmerited favor toward you. It means you did not, could not earn it on your very, very best, most holy day. You couldn't earn this. It is completely undeserved. It's God pouring out his favor on you because he loves you. That's cool. Grace be with you is his prayer. Now, grace is not only God's unmerited favor toward you. It is also his supernatural empowerment for his purpose. What's God calling you to do? Whatever that is, you make disciples. Yeah, you don't do it by yourself. You do it in the grace of God. You do it with his supernatural empowerment, and you do it from a place of his unmerited favor toward you. That means God says, I am for you, not against you. And you got to know that. Because if you're going to make disciples, you know what kind of disciples you're going to make? People like you. You can teach anything, but what tends to come out the other end of the pipeline is people like you. We make disciples who are like us. We need to be saturated continually in the grace of God. Not just as a theology, but as a lifestyle. We're going, Jesus, we love your favor. Jesus, we love this salvation. We could not have earned ourselves, but you gave it to us. You lavishly pour it out over us. This is what we are called to do and how we're called to do it. It all comes down to this. We give it away. We take it in. We fulfill the ministry that God has for us, and we do it all in the grace of God. It's actually pretty simple. I just said a lot of words to say that. So, one more reminder. Share what God has given you. God's grace in you is meant to bless other people. Secondly, receive God's word to you through other people. His grace toward you includes the input that others have received. Thirdly, fulfill what God has given you to do. Guys, God is calling you to step up to the plate. This is not a church of 5,000 people that is kind of, you know, okay, I'm not knocking anybody's church, okay? We can tend in a large church to be consumers. Why do I come? Because I really like the flavor of the children's ministry. Because I really like the way they minister to me in this, or they minister to me in that, or they do. And it's a consumer, it's kind of a us-focused mentality. And our nation is full of that. We're called to be a people, not consumer Christians, not consumer church, but ministers of the gospel. We come in and we're to step up to the plate and serve. Not consuming, but serving. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? Now, some of us need to be reminded of these things. That's why I think we're going through this. But we really need a fresh infusion of the grace of God into our lives.